and then I wax into an allegory. It is said that one day truth was headed into a village. The people needed truth. And it was said that truth was walking down the long, hot, dusty road and suddenly came to a pond. And truth took off his bright clothes and jumped in to cool off. In a little while, Lie started down the same road with his tattered, ugly garments. He too was hot. He too saw the refreshing pond and decided that he too would take a swim. But when he started behind the trees, he saw Truth's beautiful clothes hanging on the boughs. And he got an idea. He pulled off his ragged, tattered clothes, left them on the limbs, put on Truth's clothes, and started into town. People were hungry for the truth, and when they saw Lie coming, dressed up like the truth, they thought, happiness is ours. Here comes truth. But when he got close enough and began to deal with the people, someone said, no, no, no. This is just a lie with truth's clothes on. And the people despaired. In the meantime, Truth finished his swim and came out looking for his clothes, and they weren't there. And he considered putting on Lie's clothes, but he couldn't. So he just started walking down the road as he was. And finally, somebody saw him coming and shouted, hallelujah. Here comes the naked truth. And beloved, here it comes. And I want to tell you, you know that was an allegory. You know what that means. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we have the record of creation week. And after each day's creative works, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day, second day, etc. While we sit on this earth, it is spinning at 1,038 miles an hour from east to west. Ladies and gentlemen, we are constantly moving, and please make that from west to east. We are constantly moving at 1,038 miles an hour. The Bible says God made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. It was His original plan that the day would be used for work and study, recreation, relaxation, and the night would be used for rest. When you study Creation Week, you discover that on the first day God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. On the second day, God created the firmament. And the evening and the morning were the second day. On the third day, God separated land from sea and created vegetation. The forests sprang up, the flowers, the shrubs, the fruit trees. And the evening and the morning were the third day. On the fourth day, He spangled the heavens with stars, the moon, the sun. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And on the fifth day, God created birds and fishes, and He filled the oceans deep and the sky with a flutter of beautiful songbirds. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then came the sixth day, and on that day, God created the beasts of the field and of the forest. God made these powerful animals that even today, after their kind, roam the earth. The fields were filled with cattle and deer and other creatures fresh from God's hand. And then, as the sun was westering and the shadows were falling hard toward the east, God scooped up the dust of the ground and formed man after His own image. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God saw that the bull had his cow, and the sow had her boa, and the buck had his doe. Only man was alone, and loneliness is not good. The Bible says God saw that it was not good that man should be alone. So he took a rib from Adam's side and around it with the same clay from the earth, he formed the curvaceous and beautiful and delicate body of woman, breathed into her the breath of life, and then presented them to each other, husband and wife, man and woman. And God looked at all he had created, and the Bible tells us it was all very good. Thus ends chapter 1 of Genesis. Now listen. The Bible says in the first verses of chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Beloved, after creation's week, the very next day, the first seventh day in the history of the world, God created the Sabbath. He did it by three distinct acts. He rested. Was God tired? Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't get tired. Then why would God rest? He did it to join his new creatures in a wonderful spiritual coming together. And he did it to set a divine example for all of Adam and Eve's children throughout all the history of the world. God rested. And then he blessed it. He didn't do this to any other day. And the last thing he did was to sanctify it. What does that mean? It means he made it holy. How do you sanctify a thing? You take it from a common use and set it apart. God set the seventh day apart from all other days by these three divine acts, resting, blessing, and sanctifying. God created the Sabbath day. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no sin when God made the Sabbath. Now, I'm covering some very important points now. There are some who will want you to think that the Sabbath came because man had sinned and God wanted to punish him. There were two people alive and they were perfect from the hand of God. There was no sin. Not only that, there had been no fall. Not only that, don't miss this one. There was no such thing as a Jew. Jews wouldn't come for 2,500 years. 130,000 Sabbaths had been kept on the seventh day before the Jews became known as Jews. Now, if you can assimilate that, no fall, no sin, no Jews, just two people alive. And God created the Sabbath. It was a gift to them. A gift of love to them. Not a thing to be dreaded, but cherished. It was given to them by the wisdom of God for their refreshing, for their spiritual rejuvenation. God Himself did it. Now there are those who say, what's so important about a day? Why is this day important? I will answer. The Sabbath is important because it honors, and we'll show you this, it honors the Creator. Every week we celebrate His deity. If men had never turned away from the true Sabbath, there would never have been an atheist, or an infidel, or a skeptic, or a communist. How could a man come to the place he said there was no God when once every week he celebrated God and honored God? Don't miss what I am saying to you. Man, therefore, was made on the first Friday. And the sun went down, and the evening and the morning makes the next day. So the very first day they spent on earth was Sabbath. A day to get acquainted with God. A day to see how wonderful God was. A day to understand how loving God was. And a day, if you please, to worship God. Would you say amen? Man had nothing to do with his own creation. Immediately, he worshiped the Creator. But then man did fail. And man, in his fallen condition, became a sinner, subject to death. And true to his promise, God sent his Son into the world. And just as he had made man on Friday, and man had nothing to do with creation, Jesus died on Friday. This coming Friday will be called Good Friday. And he restored man, if man will receive it, and we have nothing to do with that. It was the gift of God at Eden. It was the gift of God at Calvary. All we can do is receive it by faith. Now, beloved, I want to be clear. I want to be plain and simple. The Bible isn't that complicated. No. You don't have to have a string of degrees to understand God's Word. Listen, many church people today, Christians, keep the wrong day for the right reason. And some keep the right day for the wrong reason. There are some who worship on Sabbath trying to earn salvation. The legalists. Whenever a person tries to earn salvation, he is practicing sheer heathenism. Righteousness by works. Now, please listen to me. in Ezekiel chapter 20. Write it down. I'm so glad to see you doing that. You know, the problem has been we've just listened and believed without checking. I love for my people who come to my services to check on me. After all, you all don't know me. How do you know I'm not fooling you? You got to read for yourself. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20 and verse 12. Listen, moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign. To be what? To be a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. There is that word again. Sanctify means to make holy. God says to those who love and believe Him, I have given you my Sabbaths. They are a sign that I am the Lord that makes you holy. That is the sign of holiness in Scripture. Let me read the 20th verse. There God says, hallow. Hallow means that we also set them aside from everything else. And we observe with respect and reverence. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign. Be a what? Now these are not my words. My subject came from here. He said, they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. A sign, not with everybody, but with his own people. When I was quite a bit younger, I was called to preach to 30,000 people. At that time, the largest congregation I'd ever spoken to. Now, if you don't get nervous before that, there's something wrong with you. And so I prepared and prayed and I did all of that. And the time came. And my wife met me backstage. She understood. She was holding my hands and she said, honey, when you walk out on that stage, and what a huge stage it was. She said, when you walk out there, I want you to find me in that audience. And I'm going to wink like that. And that means that I love you and I'm praying for you. The time came and we walked out on that stage, about 20 people. I was the youngest of the whole crowd. And I'm sitting up there studying that crowd, trying to be subtle, trying to figure out where she was amongst all those thousands. And you know, she has lovely brown skin. And suddenly she stood out. And when she caught my eye, she winked deliberately, nodded her head and smiled. Somebody might have seen her do that and might have thought, is she flirting with that preacher? Or they might have thought she'd gotten something in her eye. They wouldn't have known what it meant. It was a sign between her and me. It had meaning just for us. God said, my Sabbath is a sign that I am your God that doth sanctify you. I am the one that gives you power to live right. Power to put away your bottle. Power to go home at night. Power to watch your words. Power to be holy. And if you will hallow my Sabbath, say a sign between me and you. Just between us. Meaning that others know not of. A sign that I am the Lord your God. Why was it so important? I've already mentioned physical rest. Man was made and given work to do. I'm glad God believes in work. My daddy taught us how to work. My father believed you couldn't develop good character without working. And when I was a child and would get into mischief, he would often call me and say, son, you know what your problem is? You need something to do. And if you can't find something to do, you stand in the corner and jump up and down. God made man to work, but then he gave man respite from work. I tell you today, we need respite from the run-of-the-mill, the ordinary. Today, we need respite from sports and television and all of these horrible things in the news. We need a day when we can turn our minds off and think about God, the Creator. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Would you say amen out there? Amen. We need a day when we can be brought back to our roots. What roots? That God in 6 days created the heavens and the earth, and He made man and woman, and all of us issue from that first couple. If we really understood the parameters of the Sabbath, we would get rid of racism, at least in our own lives. We are brothers by creation, and we are brothers by redemption, and all of this stupidity in the church today would disappear. If man kept God's Sabbath, it would relieve tension. The bill collectors don't even bother me on the Sabbath. If they do, I put it aside. I don't worry about writing checks on the Sabbath. Not only that, but many husbands are so busy, and the wives are so busy, and the children are latchkey kids, and they don't get together. Well, here is a day for man and woman and children to enjoy one another. It's a day to let work go. It's a day to let everything of a business nature go. It is a day where husband and wife and children worship the Lord together. And then they take walks in the afternoon together. The father can answer the questions of the son. The mother can answer the questions of the daughter. They can look at a flower, and the father can say to a child, "Look what God has made. Look how delicately and intricately God planned this leaf. Look at that tadpole in the stream. God made him." And your children learn to respect God, and they grow up with character. The Sabbath is God's day. It is a day of freedom from greed. God teaches the greedy heart to be grateful. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Why the Sabbath? Why the 4th of July? Why a birthday? I was born July 24th. My wife was born July 22. My son was born July 23. I don't want anybody trying to shift my birthday to August. My birthday is special. First place, I'm glad to be here. I'm 64 years old. You know, people don't like to tell age. I thank God for every one of those years. You might as well understand that. A lot of folk my age are dead and in the grave. God has kept me, taken care of me, been good to me. And when I roll around to July 24, before I go out to celebrate, I get on my knees and say, "Thank you, Lord, for keeping me one more year. I know that God is good to me." Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
The day is important because of its meaning. Moreover, God commands us to keep the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember, it starts with that word. Remember, God knew there would be a danger of forgetting. God knew there'd be a lot of confusion. He knew that folk wouldn't know right from wrong or wrong from right. So He challenges us to go to the Bible and find the truth. And once you find it, remember. Remember thee. Now, I have taught, so forgive me for being the teacher. For that word thee is a definite article. God didn't say, "Remember a Sabbath day." If He had said that, you could choose any day. But God said, "Remember the Sabbath day." Definite article. "Keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy cattle. They used to plow with the ox and with the ass. They used to plow with a cattle. Today, it could be a tractor or a truck or a taxi cab that you drive. God says, let the thing rest on the Sabbath. Then it says, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Now, I want to be always hospitable. If you come to visit me for a week, we can have a lot of fun. But if you're there on Sabbath, I expect you to conform. We don't do certain things. So let me pause and tell you, when you keep God's Sabbath, you don't keep it the way the world keeps the first day of the week. No, that isn't God's way. You don't go to church and then come home and mow the lawn, not on Sabbath. You don't go to church and come home and put on the Phoenix Suns on the Sabbath. You don't go to church and come home and it's business as usual. God said it's a day, a sign, and I want you to worship on that day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it is an holy convocation. That means an assembly of called ones for deliberation and worship. Now, don't sit out there looking sad. It is the happiest experience you can ever have. You've got to taste this thing and see. I can hardly wait for Sabbath to roll around. I have told people, you know, forgive me for doing it, but people want to know, how can you be happy on this earth? And then I like to tell them what heaven is. Heaven is on Friday evening. My office closes before my wife's school does. She's principal of a large school. So I get home first. And when I'm there, I get home and I told you, I'm a white tornado. I get that house clean. The bathroom's disinfected. The scrubbing is done. And I can cook too. And I enjoy it. Now, don't go home saying you gotta. You don't gotta do nothing. You don't even gotta serve God. You do it, he said, if you love me. And I got plenty of that. And so I will have dinner ready. And every time she puts the key in the door, there's music in her voice. And when she comes in, the table is set, the house is clean, she simply can go upstairs and put on something comfortable, and she comes down, and we have a very cheerful meal together, and when that is finished, as the sun sets, the Sabbath comes in, and into our den, the fireplace is lighted, the stereo is turned on with the right kind of music, she's sitting on the floor, my head is in her lap, that's heaven! And people dread doing what God said. Why does the devil hate the Sabbath? And why did he bother to try to change it? In Isaiah 14:12, Satan once said, I am going to be God. And he was kicked out of heaven for such aspirations. And when he came down to earth, his purpose is to war against everything that honors God. And the Sabbath, in a special way, honors God. And the devil doesn't want this sign that God is creator to have meaning in your life. And so, beloved, it's a matter of history. You don't. When I'm through, you won't have to guess. It's a matter of history. Satan wrought a masterful deception through 1,200 plus years called the Dark Ages. Apostasy came into the Christian church. Paganism had become so popular that the Christian church was celebrating Seventh Day and the First, a day dedicated to the S-U-N, Sun. It was called Sunday. And there were so many pagans in the church following Constantine's so-called conversion, that paganism became more popular than the Word of God. And finally, at a specific time, the church put Sabbath out and voted Sunday in. And because the dark ages were here, and men were not allowed to read the Bible, they had to get all of their instruction from the priest. And the Bibles were written in Latin, so they couldn't understand it anyhow. Because of these conditions over the period called the Dark Ages, the Sabbath was lost sight of, in spite of God saying, remember it. And the first day of the week began to be celebrated as a Sabbath. Man was determined to do his thing no matter what the Bible says. So they took a day devoted to an idol, the sun, and they set it apart. And today, the majority of the Christians in the Christian world are breaking one of God's commandments and don't even know it. And in the New Testament, James chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. I've got to rush. Why is it today Christians say the law is done away with? Now, you've been wondering. Tonight, I'm going to give you the most important reason. The most important reason why you will hear it on family radio and you will hear it throughout Christendom, the most important reason why preachers who should know better tell their audiences the law is done away with is not because they have something against thou shalt not steal. All of them believe that. They ought to keep that commandment. They all believe thou shalt not kill. They all believe that God is a holy God and we shouldn't worship idols. They all believe that His name is sacred and should not be used in vain. They all believe that you ought to honor your father. You know what I'm doing? I'm going through the Ten Commandments. And when you go through them, ending with coveting, you will discover that all of them believe in nine commandments. But because they cannot reconcile their religion with the Bible, they throw the whole thing out. And what kind of world would we have if we had no Ten Commandments? It's bad enough as it is. Ministers have taught no respect for God's law, and sinners, unregenerate, have said, if we don't have to obey God, why should we obey man? And we now live in a lawless generation. What are the excuses? The first one is, it's Jewish. Why? Because the Jews kept it for millennia. That's true. In New York, they celebrate Christmas. Does that mean that only New York can celebrate Christmas? I've already shown you that when the Sabbath was created, there were no Jews. And there wouldn't be any for 2,500 years. Is that clear? There were two people, Adam and Eve, when God made the Sabbath. And they call it Jewish. The Bible says in Mark 2, 27 and 28, the Sabbath was made for man. That's a strange way to spell Jew, isn't it? The Sabbath was made for man. And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So, this excuse that it's Jewish, we have to put out. The other one is that it's done away with. Then why, in A.D. 44, would James say, if you keep the whole law and break one, you're guilty of all? Why would Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, don't think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled, till heaven passes and the earth passes. Let me quote the rest of it. Whosoever therefore, verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one. Break how many? You don't have to break 10. You don't have to break 6. Jesus said, whosoever shall break one, and then he said, of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great. And so, we have to conclude it was not done away with. Now, another one is, well, it's the Lord's day. Who said so? I'm going to show you who said so a little later on when we bring you the subject, the truth about a wonderful lie. I'm going to show you. That's no mystery. In fact, you don't even have to learn it from me. You go to your library, it tells you. But right now, they say it's the Lord's day. It wasn't called that for hundreds of years. Well, what day is the Lord's day? Does he have one? The commandment says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And I just quoted Mark 2:28. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The disciples didn't have any problem with this. The Sabbath and the Lord's Day. One day, John, the last of the disciples, everybody else was dead. John was placed on the Isle of Patmos. He was supposed to work at hard labor for the rest of his life. And John was a prisoner out there. But there's one day John didn't work for anybody. And so on the Sabbath, tradition says, he went on the backside of the island and found a cave on Patmos where he could be by himself and worship God. And as he was worshiping, he had a revelation. Heaven came down, and John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What day is the Lord's day? The Sabbath of the Lord. Would somebody say amen? Amen. That excuse has to go. Then there are those who say, well, the disciples met after the resurrection on the first day. That's true. But they didn't meet to worship. You want to read it? Read Mark 16:10-14. Bible says they met for fear of the Jews. They didn't even know Jesus had risen. And when Mary came and told them, they didn't believe her. They weren't worshiping anybody. They were scared for their skin. That's why they were worshiping on the first day of the week. They didn't even believe he had risen. And that same day, Jesus saw two of them on their way to Emmaus. And he joined them. And they were so full of gloom and despondency, they didn't even know him. Until he sat down at meat and raised his hands. And they saw the nail prints. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? They were dragging down to from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But when they knew Jesus was alive, they took off and ran back to Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, Jerusalem was uphill from everywhere. It was on a mountain. When the truth comes, you ought to get excited. Exhilarated, and you ought to hurry up to do God's will. Let's locate today very quickly. The calendar tells you the seventh day. The dictionary tells you. The encyclopedia tells you. The almanac tells you. But I want to read you something very quickly in the book of Mark. The Bible says in Mark 15 and verse 42, I'm there. It says, listen, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. That's clear language, isn't it? If you go home confused, it's because you want to be. This is clear. Mark says, when the evening was come, because it was the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And when he knew it, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took it down and wrapped him in linen, laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, rolled a stone unto the door, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Now everybody knows that was Good Friday. Huh? Now listen to chapter 16, and I'm beginning with verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past. What? Everybody knows Jesus rose on Sunday. And the Bible says, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. It was very great.
That's Easter Sunday morning. And the Bible says when Sunday got there, the Sabbath was passed. And this was written 25 years or more after the ascension.
Oh, beloved, I know it's clear. Let me read it one more time. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to verse 1. Please listen. Matthew 28 and the first verse. Listen to what the Bible says there. And we will locate God's Sabbath. This is very important. It says, in the end of the Sabbath. In what? As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the others, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Christ had risen. Sabbath had ended. Isn't that clear? Would you like to check it one more time? In the book of Luke, I'm going to Luke chapter 23, and I'm beginning with verse 54. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, and that day was the preparation, the day Jesus died, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, if he died on Good Friday and the evening comes, what day is drawing on? Sabbath. That day was the preparation, the Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid, and returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away. They entered in and found not the body of Jesus. That's clear. Preparation, day before the Sabbath. Easter Sunday, Sabbath was passed. Just like cheese between two slices of bread. One slice is Friday, the other slice is Sunday, and the best part in the middle is the cheese. It is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. What did Jesus do? Jesus, Luke 4:16, went into the synagogue or church on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the Bible says, as his custom was. Jesus set an example for us. A Christian is one who follows Jesus. And inasmuch as he did it, and did it as a custom, we are safe in following Jesus. Did he change it? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. It is not fair to yourself to believe what the Bible does not teach. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And I'm so happy for a religion that the Bible teaches. I wouldn't belong to a church that made it up or followed some man. Or read it out of some nice little book. Or some missal. I wouldn't belong to a church that got its religion from a catechism. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now there are some who say, but it's so difficult. What will I do? I thought of something. A few years ago, we went to war. The war was called Desert Storm. And men and women, husbands and wives, husbands on good jobs, had to come out of their jobs, leave their darling wives weeping at home with the babies, and go over to a foreign land. And some went to die and never got back. Women went to live over there. Some died and never got back. Why? Hard? They did it for country. They did it for honor. They went laying their lives on the line, not even knowing if they'd get back home, because they were patriotic and loved America. Jesus said, do you love me? If you do, keep my commandments. If you love me, you won't call it hard. You'll do anything for me. I did everything for you. The light should go down and the screen should come on. And I'm going to rush through this, and I'll be through on time. Please do not fear. The first day after the creation of man was the Sabbath. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Only two people alive, no Jew. And now, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I what? Why should he? God does it right the first time. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes 3:14-15. The wise man said, I know that what God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been. God requireth that which is past. God does it right. Nothing new. God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Luke 16:17. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. And so, beloved, let's see what certain churches' scholars have had to say. I start with the Presbyterians, good people. Listen, they say the Christian Sabbath, which is Sunday, cannot be found in the Scriptures and wasn't called Sabbath by the early church. And there's your authority. If we put these up here and telling a lie on the Presbyterians, we could be sued out of our shoes. What about another group? The Congregationalists. This is what they say. There is no commandment in the Bible that asks us to keep the first day of the week as a Sabbath. Let's see about another. The Episcopalians, what did they say? The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was always only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intentions of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect. Far from them and the early apostolic church to transfer the laws of Sabbath to Sunday. That's by Neander, one of the early church leaders. Now, let's see what the Methodists say. That's what I was born into. My grandfather, a Methodist preacher. My uncles were good people. Good people. But let's see what they say. They say, Amos Benny, Dr. Benny, theological compen. He said, there is no commandment in the Bible for infant baptism, nor for the keeping of the first day of the week. Let's try another. This one, we read from the Lutherans. These should surprise some of you. Let's see what they say. The keeping of the Lord's Day, and that's the name they gave Sunday, man did, hundreds of years after Christ and his apostles were gone. They say the keeping of the Lord's Day is not based on any commandment of God, but on the authority of the church. And we're not going to leave you with this. We'll answer all of your questions. And they're clear. Nothing to hide. You can go downtown to a library and read it. It's not God's fault that we don't know. That's why he sent me. What about the Baptist, Dr. Edward T. Hiscox? And this is a long one, but I want you to hear it. There was and is a commandment to keep the Sabbath, but this Sabbath wasn't Sunday. Some might say, triumphantly, that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday with all its rights and responsibilities. Sincerely, I would like information on the subject, which I have studied for years. Where could we find a record of this change? Not in the New Testament, not by any means. There is no scriptural authority for the keeping of Sunday. I know perfectly well that Sunday entered into the church as a day of worship in the history of the primitive church. But isn't it a tragedy that it came branded with the name of the sun god and painted with apostasy? Dr. Edward T. Hiscox. Oh, beloved, don't be tense. Tomorrow night I'm going to talk about two preachers who quit church. Not going to talk about this at all. In the Garden of Eden, the Sabbath was given to man. And after that, it was given to the Jews at Mount Sinai. Same Sabbath. And after that, Jesus kept it, Luke 4:16. And after that, the apostles kept it, Paul and all of those men. Same Sabbath, nothing new. They never heard of Sunday as a day of worship. Never heard of it. And Paul as his manner was. Now, we read that Jesus, as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now we read, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with him out of the Scriptures. I had several texts I was going to read, but I had to cut short. One of them said that they reasoned and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now, the reason that's important, and I'll read it perhaps tomorrow night. The reason it's important, some people say, well, the reason they went to church on Saturday was to be with the Jews. But it isn't so. The Bible says they persuaded Jews and Greeks. It's amazing how men will scuffle and carry on trying to find a loophole. There isn't one. If there were, I'd tell you. I'm not stuck on Saturday. I'll keep Tuesday. If you find it in the Bible, if you don't believe it, find it. I'll keep Wednesday, as long as the Bible says so. Is that all right? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And the Sabbath is still binding, but that isn't all. Let's see what else. When the saints go marching in, eternity will begin for us. And the Bible tells us, I said the Bible tells us, that it shall come to pass that from one new moon, that's new month or month, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. That's Isaiah 66:23, talking about the new earth. We're going to keep it over there. And why not? Since God is not a changing God. If you understand, would you say amen?
Amen.
And say it like you are grateful for the truth. Say it again.
Amen.
It is the word of the Lord, beloved. Jesus, therefore, says, if ye love me, do what? Now, if you love man, and you love men more, then do what they say. But if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says. And oh, how he loved you. And oh, how he loved me. He didn't shirk. He didn't come short in his love for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus proved his love. He died rather than forsake us. Tonight, I love him. I say without shame, I love Jesus. I love him for his consistency. I love him for his patience. I love him for his understanding heart. I love him for his long-suffering. I love him because he didn't throw me away when I deserved it. I loved him because he took my feet out of the miry clay. I loved him because he rescued me from the gang I used to run with. I love him because he gave me an opportunity to work for him and put a beautiful wife by my side. I love him because my loved ones die in the Lord, and one day they will live again by his grace. I love him because he changes sinners into saints. I love him because he'll take drug addicts and make something out of them. I love him because he is my Savior. Do you love him? Are you willing to put him first? If you are, stand and bow your heads, please, and let us pray. Oh, my Father, thank you for those who came to listen to your word. Lord, if I have not told them the truth, then I pray that you would wash it out of their minds. But if I have, do not give them rest until they have decided they love you enough to do what you say rather than what man says. The devil will be on their track, trying to confuse their minds. But truth is simple, Lord. And please, dear Jesus, help everyone here to know that you don't send the truth to embarrass or to offend, but to enlighten and to save. Help them to understand it's with this attitude that I present the truth. I wasn't born in this thing. I had to learn it. I had to change. I had to decide to walk in your footsteps. Help us not to think in terms of churches competing. That's silly. What we're talking about is Jesus and his word and the necessity of accepting that word and getting ready for his coming. Denominationalism has caused too many to go astray. We don't even preach it out here. We preach the Word of God. Help us to love it tonight. I beg in Jesus' name. There is someone who cares about his special day. There is someone who cares though errors block your way. There is someone who cares, but his word you must obey. For that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares, and he calls us to his word. There is someone who cares. He forgives the times you've erred. There is someone who cares. Now, keep the truth you've heard, for that someone who cares is Jesus. And now may he bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your heart as you decide to follow Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.